4:12-14. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, and when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy if you are reproached for the name of Christ. Blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed, but on your part, he is glorified. Kelly, come and share.
Happy Sabbath. Can you hear me? No? How about now? I should have had this little device out earlier. It was buried in my pocket. It's good to be here and at home in God's holy sanctuary on his holy day. Amen. Would you bow your heads with me? Father in heaven, I thank you for this opportunity to share with what you have put on my heart. Lord, we know that the time we're living in is crazy. We know that it can't be long until you come to take us home. Father, I think every one of us here, like me, are homesick for heaven. But at the same time, we know that there's a work that needs to be done. Lord, we want to do that work. We know that there's going to be trials, there's going to be troubles ahead of us. Lord, help us in that process to look to you, the author and finisher of our faith. And we thank you, Father. And now, Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Fireproof. Have you ever thought of what it really means to be fireproof or have something fireproof? You know, a lot of the fire suits out there are fire retardant. It's a whole different thing. You get something that's water resistant, that's different than something that's waterproof. Water resistance might be resistant to water for a little while. But I titled this Fireproof, and I think by the end you'll realize that what just where I'm going with this. But I'm going to give you some insight right here that really it's the work of sanctification that I'm talking about. You know, the church today, and I'm including all churches, are asleep at the wheel. Laodicean. In the third chapter of Revelation, the angel talking to John shares about this church that's asleep, that's lukewarm, that's thinking that it's all that, and it's not. Let me just share a little bit. If you have your Bibles and you have them open to the third chapter, I'm starting with verse 15. Chapter 3, verse 15. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot, so then because you are lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say I'm rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Now, okay, the wording there is also is definitely physical. People today are rich. When you look at the church in the Americas, we're pretty rich compared to some third world countries. But he's not really just talking about that type of richness. This text is really talking about spiritual richness, spiritual. Listen to when it talks about that you do not know that you are wretched, that you do not know that, oops, this little device took a trip down the podium. Sorry. You do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, and blind. That's spiritually talking of a lack of being close to God. That nakedness, lacking the spiritual clothes of God, the robe of Christ's righteousness. But remember the story of Adam and Eve when they first sinned. After Adam took the apple, they both realized that they were naked. That light that clothed them left. They realized something was missing. You know, it'll be interesting to know exactly what that was. I have an idea that it was the illumination of God's presence. Could be. And you know, and when we sin, it separates us from God. And so they felt naked. Well, this church also was blind. Blind to Bible truth. A lot of churches out there are teaching prosperity. Oh, it's true, God wants us to prosper. But that's not supposed to be our focus. We're supposed to look unto Jesus, who is our author, who is our very life, who has formed us, who wants to form our characters. Poor, yeah, poor in spirit for sure. Miserable and wretched because of all those. The text goes on to say, starting with verse 18, or continuing with verse 18, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich. What's this gold? Gold, I believe, refers to the character of God. When we are refined in the crucible, our characters are developed through that process. That you may be rich, and white garments. Those white garments, of course, are referring to Christ's righteousness. You maybe that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. What is that eye salve? I believe that refers to, like the oil refers to the Holy Spirit, the eye salve refers to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit brings and reveals truth to us so that we can see. As many as I have loved, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. So, he says, as many as I love, how many people does God love? The whole world. He chastens and sends rebuke to the whole world to wake them up, to get them to realize that, yes, he is on the throne. We're living in a world with deaf ears, friends. But it doesn't keep God from trying. So he does sin. Let's take a look at that text again. And I put the batteries in right, I believe. I think there's only one battery. And it is on. And it's not working. It was? It's thank you, it's working on. Perfect, thank you. What's that one? Okay. That one goes that way. Okay. Okay, thank you. Beloved, do not think I estranged concerning, think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice. What? Does that say rejoice? Oh, yeah. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. When is Christ's glory to be revealed? At his second coming, correct? Something to look forward to, friends. So, we partake in, we don't rejoice in the fact that we're in a trial, right? Or suffering. But that we partake of Christ's sufferings. If you are reproached to the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. And so now on their part, he's blasphemed. But on yours, he is glorified. Hallelujah. Well, let's look at a story in Acts where the apostles, and you'll find this in chapter 5, where they were preaching and healing, and boy, the people were showing up and being converted, and this got the high priest and those a little bit concerned, so they threw him in prison. Well, that night, the angel of the Lord led them out and told them to go preach in the temple that morning. So they did. They went to the temple and started preaching again. Well, the high priest goes to the prison. The guards are still standing out there. They open it up and nobody's inside. So someone came up and told him, said, "Boy, the people you're looking for are in the temple preaching." So they brought him back into the court and they're talking amongst themselves. What are we going to do with these people to get them to Well, they're going to, they, not for sure what all of them are going to do, but Gamaliel, he was one of the teachers, well respected, said, you know what, you guys, you better just cool it with these, with your plans here, because what you're planning to do, if these men are just for men, what they're doing is going to amount to nothing. They're going to die away anyway. That's proved in the past. However, if they are of God, you're going to find yourself fighting against God. And so they said, well, I you know, that's good wisdom. I guess we'll do what you say. So they decided to just bring the apostle in. They beat him and released him. I thought that was interesting. They beat him. They were going to at least get something done. The devil was going to get some hit in there. And then this is what these disciples said. So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Now again, they're not rejoicing because they went through some trial, through some suffering. They are rejoicing because they were counted worthy. Interesting. I want you to think about that for a minute, because friends, a time is coming where maybe you and I may be in a similar situation. Let's take their same view and count it as, you know, as, hey, we're rejoicing to the fact that God counts us worthy. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Here's one in Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. It may seem hard at sometimes to rejoice always. When you find yourself in a situation where you're not rejoicing, think about that. How do you rejoice in those times? In this time now, when there isn't a problem, what do you have to rejoice about today? Have those in mind. So when you find yourself in that, say, Lord, I do have this to rejoice about. And find ways that you can rejoice. In the experience of the Apostle John under the persecution, there is a lesson of wonderful strength and comfort for the Christian. God does not prevent the plottings of wicked men, but he causes their devices to work for good to those who in trial and conflict maintain their faith and loyalty. Often the gospel laborer carries on his work amid storms of persecution, bitter opposition, and unjust reproach. At such times, let him remember that the experience to be gained in the furnace of trial and affliction is worth all the pain it costs. Thus God brings his children near to him, that he may show them their weakness and his strength. He teaches them to lean on him. Thus he prepares them to meet emergencies, to fill positions of trust, and accomplish the great purpose for which their powers were given them. You know, friends, down through the ages, God and God worked in his people. God's people suffered trials, tribulations, persecutions. You look at Noah and his family. Noah preaching for over 100 years, you know, and what? Only his family? That has to be an impact there. Think about the storms that they went through in that ark, the trials. Think about the animals that they were with, what that might have smelled like. What kind of a trial would that have been? That was rough ocean. Spirit of prophecy points out that If it hadn't been for the angels protecting the ark, it would have been wiped out too. Abraham, look what Abraham went through. Can you imagine being asked to take the life of your child? What a trial. Ah. Isaac, what about Isaac? Having to submit to his father. He was a young, maybe not so young teenager, much stronger than his dad. He could have rebelled. He submitted. Look at Jacob, his night of trouble, his time of trouble. I mean, you can go down, look at Joseph, on the back of a camel on the way to Egypt. What a trial. He's just been sold by his brothers, almost killed. Yet he stayed faithful, and on the back of that camel, he determined to serve the father of his God, of his father, the God of his father, excuse me. But there's a trial that I want to share with you that we all know, and that's the three Hebrew boys on that day when Nebuchadnezzar had made this huge golden statue of himself and wanted everybody to bow down to it. Matter of fact, if you didn't, you're going to get thrown into this fiery furnace. So when they played the music, everyone bowed except for three Hebrew boys, young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Wow. So that really angered Nebuchadnezzar. Matter of fact, the guards or his military brings them over to him. And Nebuchadnezzar has these words with him. He says, oh, I'll give you another chance. You can bow down when the music's, and they stop him. Whoa, 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 you don't need to do that. We've made up our mind. We're serving God no matter what. So that really angered Nebuchadnezzar. He says, then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the expression of his face changed towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace seven times more than it was usually heated. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent, and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said to the king, true, O king, look. He answered, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke, saying, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came from the midst of the fire, and the satraps, administrators, and governors, and the kings and counselors gathered together, and they saw these men on whose bodies the fire had no power. The hair of their head was not singed, nor were their garments affected, and the smell of fire was not on them. Whoa. Now that's fireproof. I mean, a lot of miracles that God has done through the years, the centuries, the millennia, during when he was on earth. But this one here, to me, is the most incredible, even more so than raising someone from the dead or even recreating us. I get all that, but I mean, fire is hot. How do you, I mean, hair singes, you know, you can be 20 feet from a hot fire and it'll singe your hair. So we're talking about a miracle that's just, I mean, you know, get it. God can do anything. He can do anything. Yeah, God has the power to tame the flame. You know, it's my belief, and it's just my belief. I haven't heard it. But the martyrs that gave their lives in the flames, who sang to their voice was shut by the flames. I can only believe that our God is so merciful that He allowed their lives to go, but kept the pain from them. Because how do you sing with what fire can do to you? I think this miracle of the three Hebrews gives proof to that, but someday I'll get to ask Jesus personally. Just from what we know of His character, His love for us, it just makes sense. And the reaction of those martyrs who continued to sing and bless those that were doing that. Let me assure you that the struggles and conflicts which must be endured in the discharge of duty and self-denials and sacrifices which must be made if we are faithful to Christ are not created by Him. They are not imposed by arbitrary or unnecessary command. They do not come from the severity of the life which He requires us to lead in His service. Trials would exist in greater power and number were we to refuse obedience to Christ and become the servants of Satan and the slaves of sin. But God does permit trials. God had permitted trials to come upon His people to prepare them for the accomplishment of His gracious purposes toward them. Well, trials are used by God. And I got a list that is only a partial list, but it goes a while because that are used by God. Here's the first one. They're used to bring us close to Christ. They're used by God to call us to higher order of living and to a more sanctified service. It causes Christ's image to be perfectly reflected in us. Cleanse us from earthliness and selfishness. Well, I think we would use the word cleanse us from worldliness today and selfishness. Trials are used by God to correct our defective dispositions and manners, to develop our character, to educate, train, and discipline us, fit us for heaven. And I could add one more, to make us fireproof. The trials have been compared to the refiner's fire. Now, the refiner of silver takes the ore and breaks it up and puts it in the crucible and starts adding heat to it. And the more heat he adds, the more impurities start coming out. And they float on top. It's called the dross. They take that out. And he keeps adding the heat until, and removing the dross, the impurities, until he can see his reflection in the top of that crucible. As he views into it, it's like a mirror. The silver is now reflecting his image. And that's a good example. That's a good picture of what Christ does when he puts us into the crucible of trials and persecution, that to perfect our characters, to make our characters like Christ. He wants to see his reflection in us. God sends trials to prove who will stand faithful under temptation. He brings all into trying positions to see if they will trust any power out of and above themselves. Everyone has discovered traits of character that must come to light through trial. Yeah, we've grown up with the idea that we can do it. We got this. And God has given us talents, but we're not to trust in our talents. We're not to trust in ourselves. We're to trust in Him. God allows those who are self-sufficient to be sorely tempted, that they may understand their helplessness. God has promises. And so when we find ourselves in a trial, what do? We learned earlier that we can, as we're suffering, we can praise God that He sees us, counts us worthy to go through that. But really, we need to, our focus needs to be, even if we're going to get to that point, has to be on Jesus. When we find ourselves in a trial or tribulation, we find ourselves stumbling, let's turn to Jesus immediately. Let's open His holy word. Let's start looking at some of those promises that God has given us. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, He is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Remember that. God never leaves us. Even when we leave him. Friends, I'm so glad He doesn't leave us even when we leave Him. I wouldn't be here today. I would not be here today. Those bullets that were flying in that room that day, I was protected. If God had not been there with me, the enemy would have made sure I was dead. But I have proof that He was with me all those years that I had left Him. Here's some more promises. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear Him and delivers them. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And you feel overwhelmed. Remember that. We can do all things, but it's Christ in us that does those for us. And my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Wow. So we reflect on God's promises. We get our mind off the trial. We are seeking Him for guidance. We're seeking Him for a solution to whatever we find ourselves in. I once, this is 40 years ago probably, or better, in the early 80s. I was at a camp meeting in Soquel, and the speaker in the youth tent was Pastor Wiggins. Pastor Wiggins was from Jamaica, and he had a Jamaican accent, a strong one, almost kind of hard to understand some of the wording, but unbelievable. I remember quite a few things that he shared, and this one is one of them. He said, when I find myself in a trial, I immediately go to my knees and I start praying. And I stay there until I get the solution. And I thought, well, what a great way. You know, we find ourselves in a trial or a temptation. Turn to Jesus. Stay there and plead with an answer. You know, how often do we, when we pray, or do we meditate and listen for an answer? Something to think about. There's a day that's coming. And it's coming soon. When God's presence is going to be like a fire. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening to the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat? That sounds like a day you want to be fireproof, doesn't it? Our God shall come and shall not keep silent. A fire shall devour before him. What's that say? A fire will devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous, and it's all around him. Christ's presence is going to destroy the wicked. But praise God, his people are fireproof. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trump will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. That's when we become fireproof. New bodies, glorious bodies, without pain. But friends, guess what? We can achieve that fireproofness today in those crucibles, those trials that come our way. And you know, the more they come, the more that you turn to Jesus, the more those trials kind of run off your back like water on a duck. You'll have people come to you and say, I see you're going through this such and such. You don't seem too disturbed about it. And you go, well, God's in charge of my life, so if that's what he wants me to do, you know, give glory to God, because he's the one that's getting you through it. Friends, that day is coming soon. But if you're willing to surrender your will to his will, God promises to produce through your trials something far more valuable than silver and gold. It's Christ-like character. It's a Christ-like character. We're going to have our closing song now. But I want you to pay special attention to the second verse. I want you to pay attention to them all, but spend special attention to the second verse. It says, never a trial that he is not there. Never a burden that he doth not bear. Never a sorrow that he doth not share. Moment by moment, I'm under his care. Would you stand and sing that with me? Or with these ladies.